Jesus Christ.
Now, we're talking in this podcast about the commands of Jesus Christ. And this first episode will be an introduction to the subject. The Bible is the gold standard of how the economy of the kingdom of God works. It's a culture from another world. It's the only economy which will stand over time among all the institutions and empires of this world. The Bible states that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead after being slain by the Romans in the first century with strong incitement from the Jewish leadership of the time. The Bible further states that Jesus now presides over the affairs of the kingdom of God. Before his ascension, he said to his apostles that he would be with them to the end of the world. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Lord sets continued witness to his resurrection in a variety of ways. Christians ought to be able to speak to this or illustrate this from their own lives. In my early years, I managed to get in trouble. I belonged to an institution that was known for its sternness and the consequences of its dealings. And somehow I managed to get in trouble. Now, I'm going to say that I don't think it was fair. I don't think it was right. Unfortunately, though, appearances happen, and it was what it was, and I was called on the carpet. And I was in line, and the worst of the situation was is that I couldn't figure out how to make my case. And I was anxious. I was nervous. Well, the line moved slowly, and eventually I made my way to the front, and there was one person in front of me, and it looked like he was almost done. And at that time, the presence of the Lord came on me, and his peace and his assurance were there. And most of all, I knew what to say, and it was just so reassuring. Well, it was my turn. I made my case, and the meeting didn't last very long. But the end result was, as I had a pat on the back, and "you're good, on your way," and it was over, and I left. And I was trembling, but it was Psalm 46, "God is a very present help in time of trouble." And praise the Lord, it was a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for me. And I can speak to other cases along this line. I'm going to say also that in the Christian literature, we have a lot of this. And for an initial example, I'd like to mention a person named Stan Frodsham, who was born in England in 1882. He received the baptism in the Spirit in 1908 and followed the Pentecostal movement throughout his career. He became General Secretary for the Assemblies of God in 1916, and then became an executive editor for all of their publications over a period of about 30 years. So he has a book with multiple editions that provided a sampling of the many acts of the Holy Spirit all around the world in the first half of the 1900s during a great movement of the Holy Spirit. He does report one instance from the invasion of Manchuria by Japan in the early 1930s. There was a locality in which a group of Christians had hidden themselves in their compound, and a group of Japanese soldiers broke in. A native missionary was the first person to be seized and was about to be slain. At this point, he began to speak out in an utterance unknown to himself, but turned out to be in Japanese. It was a warning that if any harm came to the people of the building, the judgment of God would fall on the soldiers. Well, the soldiers didn't expect that there were any Japanese people there, is how they put it, and they left these people unharmed. In the aftermath, a revival broke out in the area. Now, we've got a lot of this, like I say, in the Christian literature, And I'm also going to say now that any such accounts in our time are to be adjudicated from the gold standard of the Bible. In the attachments to this podcast, we've placed a table of contents for the orders of Jesus Christ, along with a couple of pages that illustrates how we've utilized a line-by-line analysis of the Gospels in order to converge upon these. Getting to the bottom of this subject is going to require a determined and serious study of the Bible. After departing from this life, none of humanity will be excused from having to appear before Jesus Christ for an accounting. For those who are aware of the Bible, the agenda for this interaction will center on the Lord's commands. So in John 12, we have a passage in which Jesus cries out and says, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." The agenda for the final judgment is also going to depend upon the level of opportunity for the individual. Luke 12, "But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." The four Gospels present a contrast of the Lord finding wide acceptance among the population of his time, yet having to make his case before a suspicious and hostile Jewish leadership. They didn't trust him. They didn't like him. Meanwhile, his followers find themselves faced with a culture from another world, repeatedly struggling to figure out what the Lord meant or what was going on. In the aftermath of a short 3 years, the apostles were left with the mandate to maintain their practice of the Lord's orders and pass these on throughout the world, as we read in Matthew 28. Christians ought to make it their life mission, in whatever venue the Lord puts them, to be very clear on the substance and intent of the Lord's commands and to develop a substantial portfolio of illustrations. This will amount to a thesis of why you are here and what you're accomplishing as a Christian. So then, the Bible is the gold standard of how the economy of the kingdom of God works. This is a tradition that's meant to be passed on from generation to generation. Even in periods of apparent low activity, where nothing seems to be going on, Christians are commanded to look for the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That means to be right with him, to be at peace with him about the various activities and involvements of life. And this is not going to be about mere art appreciation. All the people of God are assigned the mandate to find a deeper assurance that he knows who you are, how he deals with you as an individual, and that your experience corresponds with his orders.
In that while we were sinners.